I remember many years ago reading a ethical will of a famous medieval rabbi, and he said to his children, make your books your friend. So I think it's something that sort of we called the people of the book. Books are our friends. Jews love books. We love words, lots of words. And one of the books that we should be friendly, should make our friend, is the books that contain the words that we use to open ourselves up so that we can dive in and discover our better selves, reconnect with our better selves, to connect with the people around us, our loved ones, our community, and to reconnect, of course, with God and godly ways and the great ideas and ideals of our people. All that is in our prayer books. So this Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we'll be using Mishkan HaNefesh, the Reform Movement's still rather new prayer book. We were among the many congregations that began using it last year. So as you notice, you're holding it in your hands or on your laps now, so that it will be a more familiar friend when you enter our sanctuary on Rosh Hashanah and seek to make those connections. So last week, we began, and we're going to do it through this month of Elul, which is a preparatory month. And so the idea is to get familiar with the book during our private prayer, maybe to get lost in it and to see what it's all about and what treasures there are inside of it. And last week, each week, we are Rabbi Solomon and I are taking a theme from the different main services, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah morning, Kol Nidre, and Yom Kippur day, and speaking to the big umbrella themes of these holy days. So last week, Rabbi Solomon introduced the theme of majesty, of God's sovereignty, and that's the theme of Erev Rosh Hashanah. And probably the most distinctive feature of Rosh Hashanah day, of course, is the shofar. And the Rabbi Solomon used the word earlier, the primal way that it just grabs our souls and the way the sound permeates and fills the air and it moves us so deeply. There are three different sections of rubrics around which the blasts of the shofar are gathered. The first one is Malchuyot, and these are the main ideas, really, of Rosh Hashanah. So the first rubric is Malchuyot, God's sovereignty, God's majesty, Zichronot, remembrance. And what could that mean? Surely it means God remembering us, but surely there's something for us to remember. We think of repentance, teshuvah, means to return. So remembering means, I think in this context, can mean that we remember that there is a better self that we can aspire to. We remember what those who loved us thought about us and how they knew we could be even better. So remembrance, and then finally shofarot. Our rabbi said that at the end of history, there will be a great blast of the shofar, and that will be part of the announcement of the Messiah. And so that whole idea of Messiah is one of the main ways that Judaism introduced the hope model into the world. So that shofarot helps us aspire, helps us hope for a better life, a better world, a better community. Now, in his list of the 10 reasons for blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Rav Saadia Gaon makes the main rationale in the Talmud his central reason. The sound of the shofar is a reminder of the Akedah, the story that we read on Rosh Hashanah morning, where that eerie, scary story of Abraham agreeing to God's command to sacrifice his son Isaac. And since the ram that was substituted for Isaac was caught in the thicket by its horns, you see? So Rabbi Abahu said, Why do we blow a ram's horn on the new year? The Holy and Blessed One said, sound before me a ram's horn so that I may remember on your behalf the Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah, and account it to you as if you had bound yourselves before me. The Midrash explains a little bit further. God said to Abraham, your children will sin before me in the time to come, and I will sit in judgment of them on New Year's Day. If they desire that I should grant them pardon for their sins, they shall blow the ram's horn on that day, and I, mindful of the ram that was substituted for Isaac as a sacrifice, will forgive them for their sins. Not surprisingly, the ram was talked about a lot in rabbinic literature. The Talmud tells us in two different places that the ram was actually created at the twilight on the eve of the first Shabbat, all the way back in the beginning of Genesis. Since the ram was brought into being at such a holy moment, the Midrash informs us that it was then kept safe in the Garden of Eden, where it grazed beneath the tree of life until it was time for it to assume its role in history. Rabbi Levi said, throughout the day, Abraham saw the ram become entangled in a tree, break loose and go free. Then it became entangled in a bush, broke loose and went free. Then it again became entangled in a thicket, it broke loose and went free. And the Holy One said, Abraham, in this way will your children become entangled in many kinds of sin. Though we know that the cycle of sin goes on and we know that we are likely to become entangled in sin before too long, despite our noblest intentions, we know that God loves our teshuva, our repentance, our return, which during our holy days is expressed with utter sincerity from our hearts. When we hear the words of Torah tell us again that story of the binding of Isaac, and then we hear the blasts of the shofar, we can be comforted by the compassion of a tradition which understands our weaknesses, and we're challenged by the fact that our tradition also has faith in us, has confidence in us to overcome our baser urges that lead us down the wrong path. So Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity for us to rediscover our spiritual selves, to reestablish our religious identities, to open up to the Spirit. Over the course of the year, we spend so much time away from Judaism and away from the synagogue. Sometimes we lose ourselves as Jews, and so we say on the High Holy Days, welcome home. So one more thought about the way in which the shofar stirs our souls. After World War I, hundreds of shell-shocked French soldiers could not remember who they were. The military records were of no help. How could those victims of amnesia recall their names and be reunited with their families? Someone had an idea. Someone suggested proclaiming an identification rally that would be held in Paris, and it would be announced throughout the land. On the day that the rally took place, thousands of people gathered in a large plaza, and one by one, the bewildered soldiers mounted the high platform and anxiously asked, please, please, can somebody tell me who I am? In a way, we Jews on the High Holy Days are like those French soldiers. We stand before God and one another during that time, confused, dazed, preoccupied. We take stock of our lives and wonder, who are we, really? This year, let us try to reassert our Jewishness. Let's try to reconnect with those from whom we have distanced ourselves. Let us reconnect to our community. Let us reconnect to those who love us and know what we can be. Let us deepen our connection to God. On this Rosh Hashanah, may the shofar blasts help you find yourself. May they help you hear the summons to return to God's path of righteousness and goodness, gentleness, kindness, and caring. Ken Yehi Ratzon. May this be God's will.